most importantly, we learn at your feet, Lord, and use that which we learn to our own advantage in Jesus' name. Indeed, together we'll change the world with the help of the Holy Ghost. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to talk about doing exploits for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Daniel 11:32 says, those who do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Daniel 11:32. Those who do wickedly against the covenant shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Hallelujah. Amen. Conditions for carrying out great exploits is knowing your God. Hallelujah. You know, oftentimes, so everybody is a function of his understanding. And what you understand is based on what you know. Abi? So what I know determines how I understand what I know. That's the function of how I behave. Hallelujah. In the book of, in 2 Kings, I'm going to read you a story. 2 Kings chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 1 to 14. The story of Naaman, the commander of the army of Syria. It says, now Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master. Because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was also a mighty man of valor, but a leper. And the Syrians had gone out on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. She waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. And Naaman went in and told his master, saying, thus and thus said the girl who is from the land of Israel. Then the king of Syria said, go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, now be advised, when this letter comes to you, that I have sent Naaman, my servant, to you, but that you may heal him of his leprosy. And it happened, when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sent a man to me to heal him of leprosy? Therefore, please consider and see how he seeks a quarrel with me. So it was when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Please let him come to me and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of God, of the Lord is God, and wave his hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Are not the Abner and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he thundered and went away in rage, and his servants came there and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then, when he says to you, wash and be clean? So he went down and dipped 7 times in the Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Amen. Hallelujah. Very interesting story. And so many lessons to learn from there. And it amazes me. When I read the story, I was amazed. And two things caught my attention. Hallelujah. Give me the orange one. So two things caught my attention. Number one, in verse 2, it said he had gone on raids and had brought back captive a young girl from the land of Israel. Okay, she said to Naaman, she waited on Naaman's wife. Then she said to her mistress, "If only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy." That's very interesting. It was just a young girl, but she understood the fact that in the land of Israel, there is God. Hallelujah. And that God walks through the prophet in Israel. And he said, if he were with the prophet who is in Samaria, for he would heal him of his leprosy. That's one that caught my attention. The second thing that caught my attention is the king of Israel himself. Verse 7. And he said, and it happened when the king of Israel read the letter, that he tore his clothes and said, "I am God, am I God to kill and make alive, that this man sends a man to me to heal him of leprosy? So therefore, please consider and seek how he seeks to quarrel with me." Amen. Now, if you're very familiar with the Old Testament, the kings had the scrolls, or what we call scriptures, and they read it. And then I think it's once every 7 years they read it to the congregation. But he had it with them for the kings. So they were to be conversant with the writings and the scriptures and with the stories of the scriptures. Romans 15 verse 4 still refers. It says the scriptures were written so that we can learn from them and be comforted. Please let me display Romans 15 verse 4. Hallelujah. Now it amazes me that the king could not see an opportunity in what that letter that was written to him, an opportunity to show that there's a God in Israel. All he saw was somebody spoiling for war. Amen. And what happens when we depend a lot on our physical might? It takes away all the attention we're supposed to have on God. And it's important that we get these things right. Romans 15 verses, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Amen. That's what the king said. That means this man wants, he wants war. Meanwhile, that captive girl, she was in slavery. She didn't have, it was not, it should be the least thing on her mind to be thinking of how to help her captors, the general of the captors, the people that captured her, how to help them out of their problem. That she should be praying that this man should just die and then he will distract the wife and then she can escape. Okay? But she got there and the first thing she noticed was there is an opportunity to show that there is God where they took me from. Amen. Now, don't worry about the fact that she's not the one that will do the miracle. Hallelujah.
She thought of it and said, if only this man can be with that prophet in Samaria. He's a young girl. And she was bold enough to go to the mistress. And the mistress was wise enough to tell her husband. And he was also wise enough to go and tell his own king, the king of Syria. I said, you know what? You need to send me to Israel. And truly, what the king did was to write so that when he gets to Israel, it's like an introductory letter. So that they won't think that he has sent, he said, this is the captain of his army. Abi, that's what he said. Okay? So they won't think that they have sent him because of trouble. So he wrote and said, heal him. Because that's the best of his understanding. And of course, if you go into anybody's territory, you need to go and meet whoever is in charge and say, this is what is happening. Amen. But we cannot, in the midst of all that is going on, we are going up and down looking for how to feed ourselves and all that, and forget our roots. That girl did not forget her roots. Amen. I mean, she will have, until Saul, Abi, all of Israel was ruled by judges and prophets. Until King Saul, when they said, you know what, enough is enough. Samuel, your children, they're just behaving anyhow. You know, we want a king for ourselves. So there was nothing like a king. So they were accustomed to being with prophets and going to them and getting solutions. And they know from history, which is why you said Romans 15:4, that know from history what is written down. They can take comfort from that. Hallelujah. So the captive girl remember that there is God in Israel. It's not that was God. There is God. It's on a continual basis. So before the fact that she was out of Israel or Samaria, okay, was not enough to make her forget that there is God there, number one. Also, it was not even also enough to think that there was no God. Amen. Because she could have just thought that, they captured me now. How? Why did they capture me and bring me here? And like many people say, God has failed me. See, this girl, no name. It is just our experience that the Bible has given to us so that we can learn from it. Hallelujah. And then the king of Israel could not see, except he was thinking about war, that this is, it's just like when people come to you and it's a point for you to evangelize. And then you choose to fight war. Then somebody comes to you. which one was it? Okay, it was yesterday. We were having this gist about this gentleman that everything he owns was in his mother's name. You know that footballer? You heard of his story. That his wife wanted to divorce him, and then the court told the wife that your husband, so the wife demanded 50%. And the husband doesn't have anything, no. Everything he has, 80% of everything is in his mother's name. And so there was an argument yesterday. And I didn't like the argument. Because the argument was not scriptural. So I said, for every time you find yourself in a conversation, it is time for you to show who you are and of what brand you are. Amen. You know, every time I have the opportunity, before now, when I was growing up, I didn't used to tell people that I'm a sprinter, I run. I don't tell anybody, because I was still active in that business. It's not for me to go and tell people. It's for people to go and tell people that this is what Mewa does. It's now that I say it, because I'm out of it, then I can talk about it. I will not tell anybody that this is what I do. Even now, the things I do, I don't tell anybody. All these ones I tell you, they're just icebergs, the tip of the iceberg. So don't say, it's everything about Pastor Emma that he says. There are thousands and thousands of things that I don't say. Hallelujah. Amen. So, but this girl was, so when you're evangelizing, when you're in a position, let people know what brand you're made of. And let people know what you rely on. Amen. Especially because it has to do with God. And when you do that, you will put God first before the people. So this girl of no name, or this captive girl of no name, had done a great service and had done a great evangelism for God. You know what? No doubt in her mind that man will be healed. That Naaman will be healed. There was no doubt. She did not waver. She looked back, looked at where she was, and she told them, go, this is what will happen. So much confidence in the God that was in Israel. As a captive that is bound. And a king that should be binding people could not understand that if this king, you know what, you should have just for the sake of example, he could have just told the king of Syria, okay, fine, if we heal this man, he becomes my general. Abi? If he was so sure of what was going on, he could have said, no, fine, no problem. We're going to heal him, then he's going to serve me in my army for as long as I decide. Right? It was an opportunity for him to do that. Rather, he saw that all he could see was somebody trying to wage war. Even if he thought that man was trying to wage war, he should have thought of it that I can win this war. This is his best man. So the things we ruminate on a daily basis, I think we mentioned it, Joshua 1:8. What we meditate upon on a daily basis goes a long way in determining our responses to the pressures of life. Amen. That girl showed that she had the reliance of the God that was with that prophet in Samaria. Even though her condition did not signify anything, that showed that she should be that faithful. Your faithfulness to God is not determined by your position. Hallelujah. Your faithfulness to him is determined by God's position. The psalmist says you should praise him according to his excellent greatness. Not according to how great you think he is. It's how great thou art, O Lord. Not how great I think you are. Because our mind is not big enough to fathom his greatness. You know when you are singing, you are big, big, you're big, big. See, if I do, you are... who can do, you are big? If Sunday should do, you are big, big with his hand. Eh? And Colin should do, you are big, big with his hand. Who's big is bigger? So, are you saying that Colin's God will be bigger than Sunday's God? If they are serving the same God? No. That's why when you are worshiping God, it is God's capacity that we are looking at. His excellent greatness. Not how you can magnify him because you are limited. Hallelujah. You do exploits. See, there are ways to minister to people that it changes people's life. I've told you before, when I was still, I think 2004, yeah, 2004, when I used to come to Lagos and go back to Ibadan, I ordered a bus here, and a young boy was sitting on the engine, and we were going to go to Ibadan. I didn't even know, I thought the boy was just, I just thought it was a stray boy, you know, maybe somebody put him in the car, and then say, take him to Ibadan, you know, those kind of things. And then maybe someone will meet him at the car park in Ibadan. And so when I sat down, and the boy sat, he was sitting opposite me. Even before the journey started, he started sleeping. So I told him, put your head on my lap. That's pre-COVID. Don't do in COVID times. Sato didn't put your head on my lap. That was before we moved. So when we got to Ogere, the man sitting in front got there and bought banana and offered me banana. So I was wondering why he offered me banana. Apparently, it was the father's son, the boy's father. You know, I said, do I want banana? I said, what for? So when we got to Ibadan, so there was a lady sitting next to me. When we got to Ibadan, and the boy was sleeping, she would go this way, I would adjust his head. Are you comfortable? You know, I just made the boy comfortable throughout that journey. So when we got to Iwo Road, I got down, and then that's when I discovered that the boy was actually that man's son. And the man spoke to the boy, yeah. I was shocked. So I got down and I crossed the express and I saw somebody running after me. It was that lady sitting next to me. She ran after me and said, excuse me. I was like, yeah, I know I'm fine, but I mean, you can't be chasing me on the express. Don't mind me, I was just kidding. So she ran after me and said, I said, please. He said, what you just did so touched my heart that I needed to let you know that she thought that that boy was with me. That how on earth was I able to do that? I told her, you know, it's God. And that's the way God deals with us, irrespective of who we have to deal with. And she said she was the one that said, I couldn't believe that that's the boy's father. And I said, you know what? The cheek of it was giving me banana. But do you know that singular act of kindness touched that lady and it changed the way she saw things? I don't know where she is anymore, but that's just it. Amen. If the Bible says, be like your Father who is in heaven, it's not only, you know, doing miracles or weaving words together to preach. Is in the lifestyle that we live. Hallelujah. So I can't be screaming and speaking on the pulpit or whatever, or I'm preaching to anybody that is outside the pulpit or not, and not be living that life. You know, when you are living a life, you don't forget that life. Amen. When we're growing up, my father would say that don't forget the son of whom you are. He didn't, for a long time, he did not drink. You know, I just was all this one that my father has always said, don't forget the son of whom we are, blah, blah, blah. It's because he understood his own capacity as a human being. And when he stands in the company of his friends, he knows, you know, they were always bragging. You know, that's how our fathers are. They always brag. My father used me to brag. It's my sister that my father used to brag. It's not, it's not me. If you have a son that grew up like me, you will use me to brag when they come. So when they go to the club, what they do, my daughter came first. My son came. So much so that it caused friction between friends. So there was one, my sister was always coming first. And then my sister and his son were in the same class. That boy was always like maybe 7th or 10th. So when they get to the club, they'll be bragging. So either he comes, he will come and say, don't forget the son of who you are. Which son of who are you? I mean, is this one that is coming first that is Abby? But when it comes to God, you and I dare not forget the experiences that we have had in him. Say those that know their God. That's why I said it's with a condition. They will be strong and do exploit. This girl, okay, to me, is an exploit. Because without what she did, Naaman would not have been healed. Hallelujah. And then see what happened. Then the king started talking, all he was talking. Instead of him to see an opportunity to show that it's the same God that took them out of Egypt and brought them to that land. Then, verse 8 says, so it was. When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, that he sent to the king saying, why have you torn your clothes? Don't let people ask you, why have you bowed your head down in despair? Because God is not asleep. And he's working on our behalf. So the way the kingdom was then, something happens in the palace and everybody goes. I mean, Elisha was not in the palace. He just heard. He says, so when Elisha heard that the king had torn his clothes, he didn't go and meet the king. He said to the king, hallelujah. Because the prophet of God, he sent to the king. I said, why have you done? Send him to me. Please let the man come, let him come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. Hallelujah. So the king has forgotten that there's a prophet in Israel established. But the prophet knows that I am in Israel. And he was disappointed with the king. He said, send him to me. Why have you torn your clothes? It's a simple matter. And so when he sent Naaman to him, don't forget this Naaman. He's the commander of the army of the king of Syria. The commander of the army. Elisha did not go and meet Naaman. He's too sure of what he carries. What you need is what I want to give you. One, he didn't go and meet the king. I said, Abba, you should have sent it to me. He sent a word to the king. He didn't come out to see Naaman. And that's one of the things that infuriated Naaman. He should have come out and raised his hand and do all the razzmatazz and let everyone open and I be healed. But just give him simple an instruction. The verse 10 says, and Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. And of course, Naaman ordinarily was going to be, who would have not done it? He wouldn't have done it. But for the people that surrounded him, his servants, he said, come, if I told you to do something great, wouldn't you have done it? So if he's telling you to do something that you think is demeaning, do it. It is not about the things that we have been told. That's what they were telling him. What is what you are looking for? But you know, the thing that struck me again is that the king of Syria, Naaman, and all his household had a strong belief in the God in Israel. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gone. Otherwise, the king wouldn't have written. Naaman wouldn't have gone. And then his soldiers would not have told him, Oga, do it. That's why he says, if you know your God, know your God. Some people know God, our God, more than us. They fear the God we serve. They fear that the God we serve will manifest through us more than we believe that he will manifest through us. I hope you get what I'm saying. And then verse 15, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 15 says, and he returned to the man of God, and all his aides came and stood before him. And he said, indeed, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Now, therefore, please take a gift from your servant. See what that girl's singular act of telling her, there's a prophet in Samaria. Let him go, he'll be healed. What he has done. He says, now I know that there is no God in all the earth except in Israel. Why? Because he had done all he could to get healed and didn't get healed. And then by simple obedience to the voice of a young girl and to the voice of the prophet of God, he got healed. Hallelujah. Amen. In John chapter 21, from verse 15. It says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than this? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Amen. The first time, feed my lambs. The second time, tend my sheep. The third time, feed my sheep. So technically, he was making Peter a shepherd. So some people say, Peter denied Jesus, blah, 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 blah. Even before Peter denied Jesus, Jesus told him, I have prayed for you so that when you have returned, you will restore your brothers. In Acts chapter 3, I'm going to read from verse 1. It says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the night hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to them, to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power and godliness we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus Christ, whom he delivered up and denied in presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Amen. Instructions that Christ left Peter was to feed my sheep. And at the gate Beautiful, which is also, you should look at it. It was enough. I mean, Peter and John could have walked through that gate and have ignored that guy. They could have walked through it now and ignore him now. Abi, like we do these days. Because times have changed. That you don't know if the person is deceiving you. Or you don't know if it's real. But we have a Noah on the inside of us. Hallelujah. We have a Noah. And when that Noah is knocking, we should be able to respond. Amen. You know, oftentimes, the Bible talked about the fact that each time they was preaching, the power of God was present to heal. Hallelujah. So it wasn't that healing was being preached. It was just the word of God that was being preached. Now, when Peter responded to this man's quest, the man had an expectant heart. What he was expecting something, a gift, money, from Peter and John. And so he looked to them intently, and he listened with all the attention. And he spoke words to him. See, there was no praying, no skabashing. There was nothing. There was pure reliance on the God that they serve and what they know. Amen. Hallelujah. When we talk about miracles, they're supposed to follow us everywhere we go. That's what the Bible says. These signs are follow them that believe. Because you believe is your right. Okay? It's your right. Anywhere you go, miracles, healings should follow you. Whether you believe it or not, you should. If Peter and John had walked through that gate, we would never be talking about this story. If they walked through that gate without paying attention to that lame man and not looking on the inside and say, you know what, in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It was a faith command that was issued. That's what the people that know their God, that's what they do. And that's how they do exploits. They issue the faith command. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And no devil can resist that. But you know, it didn't end there. Because what Christ told him was, feed my sheep. It didn't end there. In verse 14. So from verse 13, Peter, when everybody saw the man walk, and they attributed the fact that he was with Peter and John, they took it upon themselves now to preach the word of God. Hallelujah. And then if you read right from verse 13 downwards, let me read from verse 14. It says, but you deny the Holy One and the just and ask for a murderer to be granted to you and kill the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Amen. So they're telling them that, look, everybody, it was still fresh. Everybody could still relate to the fact that Christ was crucified. And he was sacrificed. He was swapped for Barabbas or sacrificed. Good. And it was an opportunity for them to show the people that this is the way to go. Hallelujah. If they had walked through that gate, there wouldn't have been any lame man that would have been made to walk. And they would have had the opportunity to address people. When we know God and we do exploits in his name, we are going to win many more souls for him. Amen. The things that we ordinarily, and see, it's not about going out and be like, the extent of my going out today is to win more souls for him. No. It was, they just were going about their way. And don't forget, when disciples said they couldn't cast out demons, Christ told them, this one comes by fasting and praying. Okay? So it's a consistent and gradual walk with him, consistent one with God, that exposes you to all that you need to understand. Amen. And so that when the pressures of life come, the responses from you will be what is on the inside of you. Hallelujah. The responses from you will be the words that are on the inside of you. On Friday, someone called me, and when she called, I've never spoken to her before. She just called. And the words that she was speaking, I was like, where on earth did this person spring out from? So all manner of swear words. I was like, number one, you are calling me for the first time. And you don't even know who I am. And the best thing for you to relate with me, talking about somebody else, is with swear words. It speaks volumes of what is on the inside. And that's why the Bible says that it's not what comes out, goes into a man that defiles him. It's what comes out. Amen. Hallelujah. On a daily basis, what we should do is to look out for those opportunities to make sure that people encounter God through us. That captive girl did that. Elisha did it when the king failed. Where the king failed, the captive girl did it. Peter and John, they did it. Although Peter did all the talking, they were together. Abi, it's Peter that the Bible ascribes it to. In verse 19, after he had told them how it was the name of Jesus Christ that he used to fix the lame man, he says in verse 19, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of repression may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive up until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Hallelujah. For Moses truly said to the fathers, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brethren. Him you shall hear in all things, whatever he says to you, and it shall be that every soul who will not hear that prophet shall be utterly destroyed from among people. Yes, and all the prophets, from Samuel and those who follow, as many as have spoken, have also foretold these days. You are sons of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying to Abraham, in your seed and the families of the earth shall be blessed. To you, God hath raised up his servant Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from your iniquities. And you know what happened? As he was talking, the captains of the temple and the Sadducees, they became uncomfortable. Why? Because they were going to reawaken the people and turn them to Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. And then, of course, they arrested them. But that had not gone without them laying a foundation and sowing a seed. Now, this that you have seen was by the name of Jesus Christ, whom you all sacrificed. Amen. Peter took his instructions. Feed my sheep. Amen. Peter took two instructions. Feed my sheep. And then at the opportunity he had, did an exploit for Christ. Anything that you think is an exploit, do it. Anything that is not an exploit, don't do it. Anything that is controversial, don't do it. Hallelujah. When something becomes controversial, it's just like if you are not sure that something is good or something is bad, so what's the right thing to do? Leave it. Until you consider, okay, and say, okay, fine, this is good. That's my own approach. It may be different for people. Hallelujah. You know that if you're in an office, it is not ethical for you to carry your personal things and go and use the photocopy of the office. Bros, this is smiling. It's not. The photocopier in the office are meant for official things. And to me, it's the office I work. It's not part of the money that I make that they used to buy the photocopier. Do yourself a favor. Carry that thing That work that you say you are working, that they are using to buy photocopier, they are paid you. Either you go and buy your own copier, or you go to somewhere, business center, and use the money that you have worked for to photocopy, so that you will not be in want or in trouble because of the photocopier that was put there for business purposes. So people argue, they like arguing for things that are not important. So once certainly is not sure, just leave it so that you will not be in error of committing an offense. See, when we say we stand for Christ, okay, just like we all are, we say we stand for Christ. Let it not be that our actions will turn people away from Him. It's important. Somebody comes to you and confides in you and says, "Ah, Mr. Sajiri, this, and this." I think we read it last Sunday that we are reconciled. We have the ministry of reconciliation of men. Okay, so we are ministers. It is ethical. The only ethical thing for you as a minister to do is to keep that thing that has been told in confidence and help that person in prayer. See, if you're being saved and you understanding that this thing is right or wrong was a done deal, the Bible won't tell you that when you think you stand, take it. Hallelujah. So when somebody comes to you and requires help, okay, and you decide that you are going to blow it, then there's a problem. Or you're going to go and talk about it, and then it becomes a gist. It's a problem. Because somebody has come in confidence to speak with you. If you do that, you are not doing any exploit for God. Because you are not able to restore that person. That person, you are going to deflate the person the more. Amen. We have a great commission. I don't think because you are in this city, you are in Lagos, in Ogudu or whatever, that commission is on hold. No. It is within this city that commission should take place. Irrespective of where you are, you cannot forget your source. And you cannot forget your mission. When I started, I spoke about the journey from here down to Ibadan, that you will meet different settlements on your way. Hallelujah. And each settlement is a different experience. If you choose that for every settlement you get to, you stay there and relate with the people, you will find out that there are different things that everybody needs. Hallelujah. But that which you carry, you are supposed to be able to deposit it at every time and every opportunity that you have. Leave it and move on. Amen. You know, there's still always this argument that is it good to take alcohol or smoke or everything? So let me tell you something. If you see me driving on the road, let me just use that example. I am driving on the road. And you suddenly see me exchanging fists with a bus driver and you're passing by. What will first of all come to your mind? What will come to your mind? You'll be like, Pastor, why? So when I now come and stand there and say, guys, don't fight. If anybody slaps you on the right, won't you look at you and say, but I saw you. You don't know who is watching you. And you don't know who is who at any point in time. I was on there. I can't remember where I was. Maybe it was on the sports field. I can't remember. But I was just playing, having the fun of my life, my children, everybody. I think it was on the sports field. And then somebody came and said, yeah, Mr. Drew, would you? I looked at the person. I said, yes. He said, I know your wife. So imagine if I was doing something that was on court. That's how the person had gone to my house. I saw your husband. I said, my husband. Yes, he's right. You knew where I saw him. That's what would have happened. You have to see. But he says, You have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Once you are in this fold of God, you have to decide. Begin to trim your hair. Don't worry about my own hair. Trim your hair. You begin to trim it to conform. Everything about you, begin to trim it to conform so that when people see you, they will be able to point to your God. So, is there a controversy? Is it smoke? Don't smoke. You drink? Don't drink. Why bother do it? If I do it, when you see me, so imagine that you see me smoking, or it won't happen. But just imagine that you see me smoking or drinking. I say, how do you say it? It's in the swag. Is that what you say? You won't say that. You'll be disappointed. Why would you be disappointed? Then if you do it, you expect me to say it's okay. If I do it and you'll be disappointed, then when you do it, you should be disappointed. See, one day I ordered see this, Mr. Sajiri. I ordered water. Water. Sewer water. I ordered some bottles. The one you use for dispenser. Zoom! The guy parked at my door and I stepped out. Ah, Pastor, good afternoon. He said, ha. I looked at the guy. I'd never seen him. He said, are you not Kenny's pastor? Yes. He said, are you not Kenny's pastor? He said, I was in one... What is this program? Recreational Fellowship. I was in one program one day, blah, blah, blah. So imagine that if when I ordered the water, I came and I said, a guy, you're not okay, blah, 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 blah. The guy just keep quiet. And then he'll go back to Kenny and say, this is your pastor. This is your pastor. Okay, voila. Do you know, because of that, every time the kind of regard the guy gives me every time he comes to deliver, sometimes I'm like, I hope this is in line with what your company expects. See, laying hands on the sick, praying for people, there are norms. It comes with you naturally. But this extra effort that you must deliberately bring out God to the people is important. But you don't know who is watching at any point in time. It's not even about people watching. Let it be naturally part of you. Amen. Be like that young little girl, that captive. You say, things are not working for me. And you're telling me to go and preach. That girl was in captivity. There was no hope of going anywhere. But she should have even complained that God that's in Israel. But that's a mission. And she saw it as a mission field. Everywhere you are is a mission field. That's where you can do exploits. Or not that you hold the microphone like I'm holding it. And then you're addressing people. You address people on a daily basis. Anywhere, everywhere. On a daily basis. See, when I went to work with some people someday, and I thought in my mind, okay, that it's not important for me to be there. So it's like myself, Brodipo, and Uche, maybe we'll go and work somewhere. And then Uche and Brodipo are the ones doing the work. Let's say they are doing this decoration like they do. And I just stand there. And then I looked to myself, I said, I'm not doing anything here. Let me go. So the person that asked us to do the work, I just called the guy that, okay, so I'm leaving, I'm not going to come here, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to come tomorrow, which I and Deepa will do it. The one said no. He said no. He said, see, there is something about you being there with them. I know that they are the ones that do it, but there's something about you being there that makes me comfortable. I don't do anything, though. I just stand. And I watch. Those things don't come ordinarily. And you cannot take that kind of thing lightly. So imagine if you do something, and you're doing something with what you carry, what it means. For each time we keep silent and we don't speak about God, we are denying other people that power that is on the inside of us. Don't take it. You see, it's when you don't, when you take things for granted. That little girl wasn't a prophet. And she wasn't reading the scriptures. She was not a king. She just had experienced the God of that prophet before. Anyhow, maybe it was from a neighbor or whatever, but she had experienced the God of that prophet in Samaria. And she understood what that God would do. And what she did made Naaman and his household say, there is no other God except the one in Israel. Hallelujah. Not until you command that a high-rise building should come out of this place. That's not what is an exploit. When that commission that has been given to you, Ministry of the Conciliation of Men, becomes paramount in your life, then that is an exploit. Because you know it and you are doing it. Please let's rise on our feet. Let's talk to God. If there are ways that we have erred, I don't have anything. No. Peter said, it's by that name, by faith in that name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that we have been able to heal the lame. We have faith in God. That's all we need. Let's talk to you this morning. When we are doing experts, we are drawing men unto God. And Peter took the opportunity to preach the word and said, until you repent and come to him, then you'll be in denial. We don't want people to be in denial. And we don't want people to go astray. We want to be able to bring God to people all the days of our life. We want to be able to tell people, this is the God that we serve. And that people will see God through us. The words we speak, the things we do, how we do the things we do, it will be so different. And God indeed will be expressed through us. Father, we give you all the praise. We thank you. We magnify your name. Thank you for your word. Thank you because as we go back, you expound your word, teaching us in areas where we need to show you or make you known to the people in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name we pray.